participants at the NIST Open Forum, and I was sparked by how Mike was able to tie together the spark he got from the summit and integrating many more themes, much broader. So that shaped the agenda to a large extent. And then Paola, who is apparently 12 time zones away and sleeping soundly, was interested in the area of emergency response categories and emergency response definitions, a glossary of terms. And so from that standpoint, where are we in terms of the Taxol-Fazares project, and where do we want to go next? Denise, you had an excellent framework that you presented at the summit, and Ken produced some excellent work as well in understanding the interests and the scope and how the large number of analog forum members perceive themselves, artifacts, and the broader world. So, Denise, would you like to say what you think is appropriate about your past work and future directions?
Sure. Before you do that, I think someone else also joined us in the interim. And if you speak up a little bit, I think it'll be helpful too when you speak.
This is Rex, and I joined.
Oh, hi, Rex.
Rex, hi.
Hi.
Is this better?
Yes.
Okay, Denise, your thoughts?
Okay, well, just to recap what Bob was saying, about a year ago, we had a short presentation to the Ontolog community on how semantic tools could be used to essentially improve access and organization of resources. And I talked a little bit about how we were using some of the tools to categorize, index, extract information, summarize information, et cetera, here at the World Bank. And I think it was Bob who made the suggestion that perhaps we could use, I should also say we're using these to create controlled reference sources, which I think many people would call ontologies. Okay, so we're using the ontologies to basically characterize content or information objects. So Bob, I think, had suggested that perhaps we could use some of these approaches or at least test them out on the Ontolog community's content. So the first thing, and I'll be very brief at this, the first thing we did was to, we ran another tool called COAST, which runs an inventory of all the content which is listed on a site or in a resource. And I think we inventoried about 66,000 items, not all of them substantive content items, on the Ontolog Wiki. And from that we ran, I captured copies of selected content objects and then ran concept extraction against them to identify the total list of concepts. Essentially, we were looking only at noun phrases in the first pass that came out of the content that we processed. And from that, for the purpose of the, also for the protege workshop or conference, we then clustered those concepts into ontology domains. And Bob and Peter and I think it might have been Rex, took that list of, like, first cut, very, very rough categories to the people who were attending the Protégé conference and the Ontology. There was a workshop one day for their feedback and review, and we asked them to tell us two things. One, what was not included in the list that should have been and what was on the list that shouldn't have been, and then to prioritize. So we got that list of categories, and I think I've been a little overwhelmed with work and teaching over the past half year, so I have not taken it a step further. Bob, after the workshop, also came up with a sort of a view of the different facets that we would want to capture. I was only looking at the equivalent of an ontology topic, and it's the concepts that define the topic. Okay. But we looked at, say, the person who wrote or created the item that was posted to the Ontolog wiki, the date, the country, I think I'm trying to remember all of the different facets, Bob. And I went back to look at which of those attributes we had developed profiles to capture. So I think that's essentially where we are. We needed to do an updated inventory of all of the content on the site. The other thing Bob had asked me to do was I had shared with him several guiding principles documents that we had developed, and he wanted, I think he was suggesting that we release those to the Ontolog community. And I have recently gotten permission to do that, so we can
Fantastic.
Send that out. So I can very, very quickly, because I know I'm taking up too much time here. The whole point of those guiding principles is people have asked questions over the last year or two, how do you maintain an ontology? What happens when things change? Basically, you know, what's the relationship of an ontology to a data model, et cetera? And I think we touch upon those issues in each of the guiding principles documents. And for any, what we would call an ontology here at the bank, for any ontology that we're developing, we are required to develop a guiding principles document, which addresses purpose, definitions, standards, principles, business rules, reference models, change management, governance, everything. So that's there are about four of them now. So anyway, we can share those. But I will now turn it back over to Bob.
Thank you very much, Denise. I'm really pleased that you were able to convince the World Bank to release the guiding principles.
Could you speak up, please?
How is this?
Oh, great. Yes.
Denise, I'm really pleased that you were able to convince the World Bank to release those three documents. And what's the fourth, the new one?
Let's see. We have guiding principles for a topic classification scheme, a business function classification scheme, a topic thesaurus, and the fourth one is just for metadata. There is another one for search, but I think that's a little bit outside the scope of an ontology, you know, directly.
Yeah. Well, I noticed on the conceptual framework that you and Peter Brown worked on, there was a node called governance. And I really saw that framework that Mike has posted predominantly at the start of his web page. That governance aspect, I think, is extremely useful to explore. I'm not sure it's a Taxol-Thesaurus issue, but it kind of reminds me of John Bosak's summary of rules of how he was successful in building OASIS and its governance policies in a presentation you made years ago. But anyway, thank you, Denise. And Ken, Could you share your thoughts on what you've done and where you think we ought to go next?
Well, I have a few things I've posted that we can look at. But more generally, it's pretty clear as I was doing the survey analysis that the data that gets generated in this collaborative process gets pretty complicated pretty quickly. One really needs an ontology to start organizing the large amount of information that gets generated. So, you know, I'm coming in kind of recently into this. I mean, you were looking at the results of the collaboration that was going on prior to the summit, and you already saw such an enormous amount of information. So you certainly have a lot more experience with this. Anyway, so I thought I'd show you what I had found as I was analyzing the data, and hopefully we can incorporate this into the work that you're doing. If you go to the main page here, the conference call page, and you go down to agenda ideas, and you'll see I added a link to the entry there where it says Ken Wacloski incorporating the Ontology Summit survey findings. At the very end, it says survey summary. And if you go there, you'll see at that link.
I'm sorry, Ken, what link off of your email?
After the email.
Survey summary?
It says survey summary.
Got it.
If you refresh the page, I've also moved it to where you're speaking now. We have
okay.
Item number two.
Hi, Peter. This is Lisa. I just joined. Sorry I'm late. Thanks.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
So if you look at this list, it's a collection of ontology artifacts, starting with basic formal ontology, actually it's in alphabetical order, all the way down to WSMO. Now, for most of these, all I have is a description and maybe some references. With links to the individuals who contributed the information. For about a dozen of them, there's actually more information these are the ontologies that were classified according to the framework dimensions during the Ontology Summit. And the framework dimensions are listed there. So for the basic formal ontology, you can see expressiveness, structure, granularity, automated reasoning, prescriptive, descriptive, and in some cases, it'll also mention governance. And then after that, the authors, those are the individuals who were, who developed these classifications for each of the ontologies that were evaluated. So you can see there's a fair amount of information that was introduced during that summit. The objective, hopefully, is to expand on these and to classify all of the ontologies and other ontologies as well, to have to have this be a viable way of evaluating ontologies within the framework of the Ontology Summit communique.
If I could jump in here.
Yes, please.
I think that this is an example of where Bob's suggestion about the governance fits in perfectly, because at the summit this year we had some additional input for topics that should be added to that list. So I would say ontology assessment framework would be another topic area that we would add to the overall list of say, issues that people are interested in ontologies. So the structure that you've described there should be able to fit into that. If you want, though, to classify ontologies according to those dimensions, that's a little bit different process than I think what we were doing in the Taxothesaurus process. What we would end up doing is we would be classing content that talks about the ontology assessment framework and tagging it essentially to ontology assessment framework. I think you would want a different kind of assessment tool, and it may not even be an assessment tool. I think it's a human process that actually goes in and looks at an ontology according to specific criteria and then ranks it that way. I don't know if that's making any sense, but I see that we can definitely integrate these new subtopics and aspects and artifacts into the overall scheme. I just wanted to be clear that what we've been doing is not necessarily going to get us to the point of evaluating an ontology.
Yes, no. I definitely understand the point. There's the process of doing the evaluation, which is ongoing. There's also the process of organizing the information that is generated while this is happening. You see the distinction?
Absolutely.
I'm only showing the tip of the iceberg here on that page. For each of these ontologies, and in fact for each of those framework dimensions, there's actually a discussion that goes on among individuals,
right,
and links to other, still other places, other ontologies, other discussions. So I'm actually not showing very much of the information that is available actually right now and potentially available in the future as this progresses. So this just organizing all that data is what I'm getting at right now.
Exactly. And I think that as long as it's referenced from the wiki, we would be picking it up on the inventory that we're doing of the wiki. And then it would essentially go into the large repository. I think we were also, some of the other issues I think we were talking about were, you know, how are we storing the content? What search engine would we be using to search it? And essentially how would we be surfacing the categorization? But I think we could easily include those categories that and subcategories of the ontology assessment framework in the overall list that we had. We had other dimensions that are not necessarily aspects of the ontology assessment framework, and they might surface other kinds of topics that are in the discussion as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we consume it, and we also apply it.
Yes.
Excellent.
And where will it be? Where will the results of any analysis be displayed?
Well, it's not an analysis. We're actually generating metadata for all the content and the metadata essentially is going to, would be consumed either by some sort of a content management system that is back-ending the wiki. And we had started to talk to AJ Chen about using Lucene to configure Lucene to provide fairly sophisticated search capabilities against the wiki.
Uh-huh. So I'd like to look a little bit at that, at what's being done there. Because to some degree, in some ways, there are actually formal, you know, ontological relationships here that, you know, can be explicitly, you know, added or added to this this metadata framework.
Right. As long as they are identifiable and extractable from the content from in an automatic way, then that would fit into the project.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at, to try to, you know, to try to make sure that all of these relationships are properly extracted, you know, and properly represented.
And when you say relationship, when you say relationships specifically, what do you mean?
Well, they're pretty straightforward ones, like the very like the dimensions, authorship.
That's what I'm calling metadata. You know, I mean,
yes, that metadata.
The title, yeah.
Title. Those are all pretty basic
right.
kinds of metadata. So you just want to make sure that this is captured, extracted correctly.
Right. That's we're running. We just for background information, we've improved the process at the bank. We're now running. We can now run 1 million PDFs a day through the process that we're using. And that's generating probably 10 to 15 metadata attributes per document.
How many?
So,
I'm sorry, Denise, how many?
1 million. We're planning to run over our records management database, which is about 4 million the next four-day weekend. So,
this is using Teragram?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't setting different expectations for assessing actual ontologies. I mean, if there's an ontology that's described and accessible, we can probably process it, extract information from it, but we wouldn't. There's not going to be any intelligent assessment of it. So, but I think that was clear.
Denise? Hi, this is Lisa. So with the extraction, it would be like the Excel spreadsheet that you sent out where you had the file name, extension, and title, and author?
That was the inventory. Yeah, that was just the simple inventory that we did of the website. I'm sorry, the wiki. What we do is we generate XML formatted metadata, which say identifies the author, the editor, the title as distinct tags, and then we decide how many values we want for each attribute, and just give Teragram the parameters, and each value comes out as a distinct element.
Because it looks like in this spreadsheet, there's not very many values for title or author.
Right. That's just what was on the website. This is using something totally different. That's just post.
Okay, sorry.
It's just a web crawler. And
okay.
If there's anything in the HTML meta tag, it'll grab that.
Okay, great. Thank you for the clarification.
That's okay.
Excuse me, Denise. Are you using actual information extraction techniques against the content?
Yes. We're using I apologize, there's an echo. We're using concept extraction, rule-based, grammar-based, dynamic categorization, rule-based categorization, and summarization.
and this is being driven by its own external ontology to help disambiguate?
Every attribute has its own ontology.
Okay, excellent, excellent.
Because I have some groups that want to use, you know, ontology A, D, and F, and another group that wants to use A, G, and C. So to keep some level of interoperability across systems and applications, we require that they use the same ontology, regardless of their metadata selections. And then we only have one to maintain. And that's exactly the guiding principles pertain to each attribute, to each ontology.
Is there a particular write-up on this, Denise? This strikes me as about as cutting edge as it comes.
We made a presentation to Ontolog about a year ago. We've made a lot of presentations around the world, and I think Terragram has actually written up, I think there was one in eWeek, maybe 2 years ago. And I think, we're also working on the Terragram Procedures Manual. Probably when that's done, you can have a copy of that as well, so you can see, you know, from a step 1 to step 15, you know, how we're actually building the profiles, how we're using them, how we're maintaining them. You probably are more interested in that than anything.
Go ahead.
Let me not sidetrack the conversation today with what we're doing at the bank, but let me turn this back over to Bob so he gets us back on track on the Texas Thesaurus project.
If I can ask a question, do you have any release date for the Telegram user manual?
It's going to be a funny release date. It'll be after the electrical work in my new house is done. I bought a new old house, and I'll tell you, if you've ever seen the movie The Money Pit, I feel like I'm living that movie. It's the third item on my desk right now. Unfortunately, it's at the bottom of the pile after the business function use case, the metadata guiding principles, and then we have the Terragram Procedures Manual. But I'd say probably within another 6 weeks it'll be done.
Are you looking for draft reviewers?
That would be very interesting to have an external review. Somebody who's not doing the process hands-on. It's kind of like, I think, that would be very useful. That'd be very useful.
I'd like to volunteer. Is there anyone else want to volunteer?
I'll volunteer, although it could be a lot of data.
let's just put it this
the
way. I'll send a draft copy. If you choose to review and send me comments, that would be great. If you choose not to, that's okay.
I would also be interested in seeing this.
Sure.
Yeah.
So it sounds like a next step for me to do to support the Texas Thesaurus project is to take the work that Ken has done and to integrate it into the framework that Rex had finalized after the Protégé conference.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. And then I'll send it out to the group, and you can tell me if I've got it right or not got it right. And I wonder, Bob, I know you're going to pull your hair out when I ask this request one more time. Would you send the framework back that you had put together and maybe send it to everybody? He's laughing. That's a good sign.
Of course,
Denise. I worked on it on the day that they were doing the retaining wall, and I can't remember where I put it.
It's behind the retaining wall.
Oh, probably it's in the cement. I don't know.
I will certainly send the framework to you. Do you use Mind Map?
I don't have that. But I think everybody else on the call would probably like to see that as well.
I'll be glad to send it out.
Sounds some of the great. Things, what Ken was just talking about in terms of the different aspects, I think you had covered in your framework too.
Well, I'm sure we'll be able to do a point-to-point comparison and see how it shakes out.
There is...
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. There is one other profile that we've developed here at the bank that is working very well now, and I'm wondering if it would be of any value to the Texas Thesaurus Project. It wasn't on our initial list. We're able to extract people, the names of people and institutions referenced. And it seems like that might, if we pulled that out as a distinct metadata attribute, it might provide some opportunities to do clustering on people or institutions.
Sure. I mean, since a lot of the work at Ontolog is quite academic, I think there will be a lot of value, definitely.
Okay. We can add that to the profile, too.
Yeah, for individuals, I've been using their wiki name. Is there a wiki name for institutions?
What? It doesn't have to be an explicit name that's pulled out. If it's anywhere in the content, we can pull it out. I may not be answering your question.
No, I'm just suggesting that, at least in what I did, I have unambiguous sort of identifiers for name for people,
mm-hmm.
because of the everyone has a wiki name.
Yeah. I mean, as far as the Ontolog quote,
for those that are on the Ontolog,
concerned, I mean that is useful.
Yeah.
For people who are not connected, actually, as soon as someone gets any connection with Ontolog, it seems. We introduce a wiki name for them, isn't that true, Peter?
Only when they are members. We sort of have wiki namesake pages for people who are members,
mm-hmm.
and of course we make people a member if we invite them to speak or whatever. So I mean, that grows.
Yeah.
But I mean, we ask our members to make their wiki page, but they may or may not do it. More recently, I mean, the newer members, I sort of at least initialize a page. Like, I mean, Mike Bergman, who joined us just a couple of weeks ago, could testify to that. So I take sort of the very simplistic input and ask the people to expand on it. But I actually started the page. I didn't used to do that before.
Ken, maybe I can very quickly explain how we pull out the people names, and then you can tell us whether or not you think it would be useful to link to the wiki name. We found that trying to pull out first and last names using grammars or formats or anything like that didn't work very well. So what we did was we built an authority file of first names from an international list. It's so far it's about 35,000 first names long.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we wrote a grammar that has, say, first names as a defined subset. So we're looking for any matches to first name followed by last name. So... and just outputting that. So there isn't any authority control on names, but you could apply the authority control to the names that we generated and link it to the wiki names if you wanted to.
But, I mean, what if you are using the wiki name?
It's
presumably you can catch that.
Yeah, of course. we're going to catch any name. Like if it's Michael Bergman or Mike Bergman or M. Bergman, et cetera, we're going to catch all that.
Mm-hmm.
But then you would probably want to tie Mike, Michael, and M together to a wiki name.
Peter?
This is absolutely standard named entity extraction issues.
Yep.
And, of course, what you would then have in a formal ontology is like a preferred label, which if you want to use the wiki name as that, and then, you know, any of the aliases map to it.
Right.
Okay. Then for institutions, I noticed that our wiki does have institutions as well.
Yeah, if people put that into the namesake page, yes.
Or I was looking at the Ontology Summit co-sponsors.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Has quite a list of institutions there. And those have wiki pages too?
No, but link.
What are those? What are they linking to?
They're linking to, let's say, the respective institutions.
Oh, so it goes outside of the wiki.
Stanford Medical Informatics. Then chances are, the link will send you to the Stanford Medical Informatics page. At Stanford.
Right. Right.
Not on Tulloch.
So the wiki, yeah, there's no corresponding wiki notion for institutions.
Not
in this case.
Not our work environment.
Right, right.
But if you sort of broaden it to the whole web, then yes.
Mm-hmm. So it is a little different for institutions, but yeah, clearly there's this would be very useful getting those links. Using your named entity extraction.
Okay, we can give it a try and see. You can tell me how well it's working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds great.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Ken.
Well, the one other thing that I did, I don't know if this is particularly relevant to this discussion, is I set up a spreadsheet for the evaluation. And that's not actually part of the wiki, so I don't know if that would be something you would get. It's actually Google spreadsheets.
Mm-hmm. Can you point to them from something in the wiki? Because the crawler will pick up anything that's pointed to as well.
Peter, can one point to that?
To what?
To a spreadsheet, the
yes,
Google spreadsheet.
Yes, you're already doing it. I mean, for those who are unfamiliar, maybe Mike, I mean, who is new, the Ontolog collaborative work environment actually has three sort of fairly orthogonal workspaces. I would say there's a wiki, which is the shared display workspace and collaborative authoring workspace. And then we have the conversation workspace, which is the archived forum. There is also a shared file repository, which is a web dev server. So the combination of these three actually makes up the entire space. And anything that's dropped into this collaborative work environment is one already fully indexed for Google search. They are fine-grained, anchored for sort of fine-grained linking, which means, let's say, if you see the conversation archive or the wiki page, there's a thing called the purple number. So they allow finer-grained access. And then, of course, anything that's dropped into this space is also browser accessible. So they all have a URL associated with it. One thing I don't know if I mentioned, but I should have, is that most of our assets, particularly, let's say, the PowerPoints of the lectures, the audio archives, and so on, are actually very richly tagged. I mean, for example, all the MP3 files have ID3, both V1 and V2 tags, and they're very elaborate. Actually, I mean, that's the part that takes me the most time. I mean, they're manually done, and they've been done since the beginning. All the PowerPoint files have metadata. Most of the, let's say, doc files have that too, and especially if the people who contribute them are diligent, then all the properties should be properly populated and is part of the metadata. And I assume when you inventory them, these metadata are already being picked up. Is that a good assumption?
We got some metadata, but not a lot. So, and I think there were like no keywords that came up. So I think they're probably generating like the author and the title, maybe date, but there was no topic classification for them to use, and I didn't see many keywords at all, if any.
Okay, when you inventory, do you do MP3 files to the audio files, or are you mainly inventorying the text-based asset?
Anything that was posted to the website.
Okay.
I think when we refresh.
Including the MP3s.
Yep. I think when we inventory the. I'm sorry, there's an echo again. When we re-index, when we re-crawl the website, or I'm sorry, the wiki, maybe, Peter, if you will target, give me the three top URLs that you want me to start from.
I guess if you start from the wiki homepage, then you will reach, I mean, the top URL is ontolog.sim3.net.
Right, that's where I started last time.
Yes,
I ran out of space, though,
exactly
at 600, yeah. At 65,000.
Right. Yeah, so. If you start from there, then you would reach everything.
Yeah. So if there are subsets below that, no, I could run them individually then. Sorry, Bob. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I had the impression you were seeking to minimize, prevent overload on your web crawler by asking for the top three most, for Peter to prioritize the top three subsites.
Yes. Because at one level, I might get a lot of just images, or I think we picked up a lot of the messages last time, which were real important. And there were PDFs and PowerPoints and Word documents and a lot of stuff. In fact, I think we had also done, did we do an actual count or at least a percentage breakdown of at least format types in the first inventory we did?
Yes. There was that breakdown.
I'm sure you did pick up. I mean, all the assets. My question actually was, when you crawl them, do you, let's say, is the crawler sensitive to, let's say, ID3 tags and so on, on the metadata that's already embedded in there?
Any metadata that's embedded in it, it's supposed to pick up.
Okay, great.
So.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. But we'll have a look at the inventory that we generate and see if it missed any. So, and it would be very helpful to have, Peter, are you embedding the metadata in the property tags of the documents or the content, or is there a distinct metadata?
For let's say PowerPoint, Excel, Word document, then it would be under in properties, and for MP3 files, it will be as ID3 tags.
Okay. So we probably need to look at the properties to make sure that what we're generating is going to fit in there.
Sure.
Because otherwise it's just going to be data that would be added to a search index, or if we're thinking about building a browse structure for the wiki, then it would be used there with a pointer back to the URL of the object.
But you run this separate metadata repository, right? Am I correct to assume? So you don't insert the metadata back into, let's say, the ID3 properties, but rather you keep it separate.
You need to write an extra script if you want to write it back into the documents. Okay. So at this point, we generate XML so that any system can consume. We try not to tightly integrate our systems.
Sounds great.
So, we can write it in XML, and you can convert it into a spreadsheet if you just want to use it that way, or write it into properties, whatever.
Okay, my question was a little different. I'm not sure that these that Google spreadsheets are actually part of the environment.
That's okay.
But I can link to it.
If we had the survey database in an Excel spreadsheet, which is sort of
hosted Google spreadsheet
on the shared file repository, and it's linked to from the wiki. So when Denise Scrawler crawls it, then it's going to pick it up.
Right. So
I one of the parameters I tell the crawler is to
capture
all the external links from the wiki page. It will, and there's a link within the wiki to the Google spreadsheet. It'll pick it up.
Okay. That'll do it then. I'll just have to make sure I have a link to it.
Yep.
So that's great. Have we finished this point in the agenda?
This is Kathy. Could I ask a question?
Sure, Kathy.
Denise, you mentioned two other pieces of software, maybe, Coast and Lucene.
Yes.
What do they do?
Coast is a software package that is no longer available on the market, but it was one of the best products out there for monitoring websites, checking for broken links, looking at the speed of downloading pages, et cetera. So like a web, almost a web content monitoring system package. What I used it for, though, was as we were migrating all of our web content from, say, many homegrown systems and servers to a single system, we ran inventories of all the content that was on individual sites, and it would give me a very nice detailed Excel spreadsheet listing all of the content objects, their size, their format, et cetera.
Oh.
Now, I have not yet found another product that did that for me. And so, unfortunately, Coast was one of those products that was absolutely licensed to to a CPU. So if you changed your CPU, you couldn't, you lost access to the software. So the company went out of business about 2 years ago. I'm hoping never to have to change my CPU, because I will lose access to Coast, but it's a really great product. If anybody finds something similar out on the market, I'd really like to know about it. But you'll see the results when I'll run another inventory and send you all the results. You can see what it does. The other one is Lucene, which I think is an open source search engine. And A.J. Chen, who is a member of the Ontolog community, has quite a bit of experience, I think, working with Lucene. So we were thinking, since this is open source, that maybe it would be a good opportunity to look at it as a search engine, particularly for advanced search, because Google doesn't do advanced search. So,
Lucene is a full-text indexing engine from the Apache project, and frankly, I would recommend that you look at an outgrowth of Lucene, which is also open source, called Solr, S-O-L-R. And the reason Solr is interesting is it natively includes a faceted browsing. So it's based off of Lucene. I mean, it's basically a sibling to Lucene, but it's been enhanced with facets or metadata searching for faceted browsing as well.
Did you say S-O-L-R?
Correct.
Thank you.
Kathy?
Yes?
Kathy?
Yeah?
Do you know much about Terragram?
Only Denise came and talked to us about Terragram. And I do know, you know, it's a categorization tool. Other than that, no.
You were using another tool, if I remember correctly.
We were using Semio.
Semio, okay.
And it's now Intriva.
Right.
And it was a marvelous tool, but I come from an indexing and abstracting background, so I'm interested more internally inside the document than maybe y'all are. And you could have, I worked for two different commercial databases, database services, and the big issue was how much does this indexing and abstracting cost? So Semio was really something that you could, if you had a good thesaurus, and you had used the Semio, it would go into the documents and categorize the documents based on the, those thesaurus terms. And then it would, you could go in and get a list of things that did not categorize and modify your thesaurus based on that. So you could index and abstract millions of terms with maybe three or four good subject experts. So I thought it was a marvelous tool. Now, it didn't, it really didn't, it was just a nice tool. Then it gave you a browsing structure and you could go down and look through the browsing structure based on subject, and if a document had several main terms that ended up in all those positions in the tree. It was a very nice tool. I don't know what Insight has done to it, so I don't know whether it's been enhanced or
think,
you know.
I think what's happened is that Semio became part of the another engine, if I remember correctly. So, and it was primarily a dynamic categorization tool, which is how you they generated the maps, I think, and the visualization. But
we used it with our portal.
Yep.
Okay, it's 11:35, and we've heard from Denise, myself. Peter, did you want to comment on what we've accomplished and what you see we need to do next going forward?
I think this project is great. It had a great start. Last year, at least, I mean, the last goal we were looking at is to provide the the ontology that would allow us a sort of faceted and taxonomy facilitated search, I think. I mean, so that the community can better access the assets. I think tools and our content both improved over a year, and the interest stays here, and we are getting more expertise into the team. I personally think it's sort of ripe to relook at the entire scope and redefine our deliverables, so that, I mean, there's something we could pace the project by. You would consider that sort of meaningful. I understand these are all volunteered efforts, and it's sometimes difficult to gauge, I mean, how much time anybody can spend. But if we run it like a real project with deliverables and deadlines and so on, I think we can get more done.
We started out with such a page, and I think you're absolutely right, Peter. We need to go back and revisit that page, update it, review our deliverables in the context of the tremendous work that we've done so far, particularly with Denise, and the volumes of material. By the way, I used your search tool on Sim3 for Taxo Thesaurus project and got a very exciting large list of materials back, all of which joggled my memory quite a bit. Thank you, Peter.
Right. I mean, actually, the search has been there for years. I mean, it's that people just don't use it. And now that it's right in your face, I hope, I mean, more people will use it.
I thought I detected some changes in the results that I got back. Earlier, when I tried it maybe 4 or 5 months ago, I was a little disappointed, and this time I was very pleased. Maybe I'm just getting older.
Maybe the community put more stuff in there.
That's a possibility.
Probably
too.
The latter.
Okay. Mike, did you have any thoughts?
Oh, I thank you all for inviting me. This has been tremendously more interesting and fascinating than, frankly, I thought it was going to be when I decided to listen in today. I'm very, very impressed with what I'm hearing from Denise at the World Bank. I think actually you all are much closer to a meaningful delivery with less effort than perhaps many of you suspect. I was going to offline discuss with Peter and Denise what the possibility was is to get RDF output from some of this information, because if that's the case, almost instantaneously you can have a lot of linked data benefits from doing so, and I would encourage this group to look into the W3C's linked data group, which is, Ontolog need not be the only entity responsible for maintaining this useful information. When you talk about people and organizations, of course, now you want to start linking based on their folk profiles and so forth. And once you start adopting those types of approaches, you then have the emergent benefits of the network effect. So I think there's a lot that you all have that you're sitting on top of here, and if you're very pleasantly surprised how much of immediate benefit you could gain with, frankly, very little effort.
That's a really good suggestion.
What do you see as the next step toward that, a test of that capability, Mike?
We can't quite hear you.
Mike?
I went back on.
I'm sorry.
Well, it sounds like Denise is the one that's sitting on top of the toolkit that's been processing the Ontolog site up to date. correct?
Right.
So it's really a question of Terragram and what you have internally. You might be able directly to go to RDF, but frankly, I know of a couple of pathways where we could take whatever you have coming out, be it XML or whatever, and convert it to RDF.
That's perfect, because I'm not likely to get my developers here to change the schema.
You are a developer, Mike, are you?
I've managed developers for decades, but I'm not a natural. It takes me a long time to actually develop.
Yeah, the problem with this group is, I mean, we have actually more theoreticians than people who are hands-on.
Isn't that always the problem?
right. I mean, most of the people here, I mean, they could probably get like a student intern and get some work done. I mean, maybe Kent can help us here.
I wish I were a theorist. That sounds nice.
Maybe I can talk a little bit offline with Denise or email or something, and let's see what we can do, because I everything I'm looking at here looks like it's real close to being ready. The one piece of course that would be really helpful would be, all right, what is your schema? And so even then, you know, as probably everyone knows here, I'm kind of an RDF schema advocate, and so I would recommend looking at SCOS but then you're also going to need a bit of a control vocabulary to go along with it, but it sounds like that's been developed already, so getting that into
SCOS?
I'm sorry, what?
How do you spell SCOS?
It's SKOS. It stands for Simple Knowledge Organization System. It's a one of the RDF schema vocabularies.
I got it. It came up immediately on Google.
It was designed specifically for the purpose of integrating disparate knowledge bases and ontologies, including informal ones. So as an organization framework, it has hierarchical relationships, network relationships, synonyms, and it looks pretty cool. There's if you go to the SCOS W3C site, you'll see quite a bit of information. The Cornell metadata registry is part of the use cases. There's some really good ones taking place. A lot of digital library action is behind it.
Excellent.
While we have you here, Mike, the proper dialogue, the proper sort of workspace for this conversation is the ontologizing mailing list. So shall we add you to the list and let's sort of talk on that list? I mean, the beauty of doing it on the list is that it gets captured and it can refer back to it, become something that indexed and retrievable and linkable to.
I'd be happy to.
Yeah, great. If you refresh your page, we've got that captured as well. Back to Bob. Hello.
Yeah, I'm here. Lisa.
Yes.
What's your thoughts about past, present, and immediate future?
Well, I was thinking I'd just take a look at what Denise sends out and see if we could, you know, do some clustering based on the concepts that we came up with last year around, you know, individuals, organizations, relationships, and, you know, events, just from a general ontology perspective, if that's helpful.
Yep, that sounds good. Is Rex still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, Bob. I'm pretty locked into emergency management and health care. However, I did run across a free tool that Peter Elkin is going to offer, which they had to develop for his group at Mayo Clinic on ontology evaluations in terms of the relationships used to categorize or to use for classification. I'll tell you guys more about it when I get my hands on it. But it may actually prove useful in the Taxothesaurus, but until I actually see what it does, it's probably premature to say much about it now.
So that goes on our to-do list as a question mark. In respect to emergency response, it seems like Paula has made a very strong set of suggestions on what she'd like to see with the context that her primary passion is emergency response also. On the webpage for today's her suggestions for developing a glossary that meets certain requirements, I wondered if you take a springboard off of her thoughts and see if there's additional to-do items for our task.
I will look at it more closely.
Okay. Peter, did you have any thoughts on Paula's suggestions?
I think all the suggestions are great. I've managed to capture some of the discussion, not all of it, and anyone else, please come back to the wiki and sort of edit and put things back in where I've missed them. Please.
I think that Paula's suggestion for coming up with an open format for either offering definitions for terms or offering comments on definitions for terms is something that we should probably look at in a little more detail when we have time.
I believe when Denise is done, we will be able to get what she needs. But then, I mean, if one looks at glossaries, I mean, there are already hundreds of them, I mean, out there. I don't think we need another one, honestly.
If the purpose of the glossary, though, is to get people to discuss a particular concept or definition in a stable place and work through their differences, I think there's value. I just find the long discussion threads interesting from a conversational perspective, but not necessarily very helpful in terms of coming to agreement on definitions. So if that's what she has in mind, I think there's value in it.
No, I don't think that's what she has in mind.
Okay.
She's looking for pointer pages and pointers to glossaries and short definitions. I think all the elaborate discussions that are going on the forum actually needs further work, like someone sort of rounding up all the arguments and then writing it into a publication that gets reviewed and published. I don't think after like 400 exchanges one can summarize into one line and sort of add that to a glossary entry.
Right. We're actually, I think I was probably reading a lot into what she was suggesting then, because we're actually using a wiki-like project to develop those, you know, more extensive definitions and to come to consensus on what we mean by particular development topics. So it is something you could use for that if you wanted to, but it doesn't sound like that's what she's interested in.
I don't know exactly what she's interested in, but I mean, the original thing that she was asking for, I thought, I mean, she could have just searched the web and got to them.
Okay. I thought she was saying that of the glossaries that were available, she didn't see any that were particularly good on this topic. But I could have been reading things in as well.
I read it the same way, Denise, and I also read it that she's looking for you know, the discussion as well as the definition. I may be wrong as well, but there's two of us that read it that way.
Okay. So, well, we'll maybe wait to hear what Paulo clarifies.
Yes.
The one thing I would say is that if we finish what we're about in the Taxos Thesaurus project, we could at least categorize any, or, you know, provide some metadata for any entries in a glossary that she might create. But I'm not sure how much value that has.
It would be useful, I think. There's that echo again. Is everybody hearing the echo?
Not anymore.
Go ahead. You mentioned 400 exchanges. Is that material related to the subject line, a single subject line?
Typically, yes.
Because I've been really busy on some really intense projects, and I found myself totally lost in trying to get engaged once again with some of the discussions. And if there was some better way of describing the threads, the keywords, and seeing what the score was, or the facets, anyway, of the conversation, because I think there's apologies, there's a periodic effort to summarize the last week's work, and it would help me tremendously to get a short list of four or five key topics in the dynamics on top of that. I don't know if Denise's tools have that capability, but I guess there's a time element and a quick evolution. You might say the logistics of the ideas.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Bob, but my battery's about to die, so I'm going to be picking off now.
Thank you. We'll get back offline this afternoon.
Okay. Okay.
Great.
Bye.
Bye, Rex.
Thanks. I have to go to Bye.
We have another 5 minutes, and Denise, I see a real need for you and I to chat again soon about the task page and looking at the deliverables, and then perhaps you can bring in Peter on that phone call, as well as Ken and any others who are particularly interested. The milestones, the objectives, the deliverables have certainly shifted and evolved over this last year and a half. is there anyone who hasn't had a chance to speak that's on the call now?
Hi, this is Doug Holmes. I joined pretty late. I just had one thought, and it may have already been covered, so I don't know. But I think one of the big benefits of this will be eventually being able to search all of these wonderful presentations that we've had. And I'm wondering if anybody has, or if there's a plan to start annotating the presentations, that whole library of things, at some stage in this game.
That was an early hope that we had. Denise, what's your thoughts on?
By annotation, do you mean generating the metadata for them? Because that's precisely what we want to do.
Is there a point at which you want to start working on that, or you know, when the ontology is stable enough to say, let's take a few and start applying it, or is the plan to do this all automatically?
The plan is to make a first pass automatically. And then I think just to support easier access and search and browse, then one of the things we had talked about a year ago is if on top of that people wanted to add their own keywords, then that would be something that could feed back into the whole process and the creation of the ontology. There will be multiple ontologies actually coming out of this, not just one.
Okay. Is there a stage when you want to start doing sort of prototypes or pilot projects and you need someone to review that?
I think so. I think the first step is I have to take the work that Ken has done and to the topic structure. And then I need to rerun an inventory. I'm going to try to target some content-rich areas of the wiki this time around. And then we'll see what we can process through Telegram. And depending on how fast we can move on all of this, I think that's what Bob wants to talk about in terms of, you know, timelines and things. I would expect maybe in the next month or two, we would have things to review. I think if we can also work with Mike to get this, the XML that I output into an RDF format, that might be easier for everybody to review.
Okay, well, if you need help, I'll be glad to help on that.
We definitely want help.
I've got your
same
name.
Same question here. I just asked before. Doug, you are a developer, right? So
that's
yes,
all of the questions. I'm everything. How much
okay,
money?
We're just trying to round up all the resources and capabilities.
I'm not a coder. I can write some code, but that's not my forte. But I do have a son, and I do have a little group of associates, so we can, you know, generate Java.
Fantastic.
You do.
Great. I think we've got a lot of capabilities all around. So
I could develop in OWL. How's that?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's called development, though.
The important thing is I think we've approached the problem really comprehensively. I'm sending out my faceted critter later on this afternoon, and I hope maybe this weekend between getting the electrical system hooked up in your place, Denise, we can have a conversation over the agenda. I'll populate the task lists and the deliverables, send that out to everybody, and move forward. And it's 12:01, and I think unless anybody has new business, the session is adjourned. Anyone?
Nope.
I want to really thank everybody for coming, particularly those that everybody contributed very, very good materials to this. Thank you again, and have a good day.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Denise.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye-bye.
The moderator has disconnected.